Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on where you are. Welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And tonight I have with me as a co-host my good buddy David. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing fine, Pam. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. I mean, the weather has been really nice in Chicago last couple days. And the Hawks were winning. I don't know what they're doing now. I haven't checked, but I'll have to take a look in a few minutes because I know they've been losing their last couple games. And what's going on in your side of the world?
Nothing much. It's cold. It should be warming up soon.
Well, you get our weather after we have it, so. I think we have our guest on the phone, so let me go ahead and check.
Okay.
Hi.
Stacy?
Hi.
Hi,
it's
this
Stacey.
Is Pam.
Hi. Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. We're live on the air, and I have my co-host David with us.
Hi, David.
Hi, Stacy. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing good.
And I just got your tweet. Stacy,
oh,
call
did you?
718. I'm like, okay, I'm fine. You realize it's like 10:30 here in London. I just got back from dinner. Give me a break.
I didn't know where you were. I know you're from England, but I didn't know if that's where you currently were at the moment or if you were somewhere in
yeah.
the U.S.
No. I live in London now. So, and then actually I'm off tomorrow for a week on holiday with my kids, and then I'm in the U.S., so I'm all over the place. I'm looking forward
to
catching up some good movies on the airplane.
Oh. What's your favorite? Do you like comedies or mystery? Or?
You know, I have to say, I'm so behind on my films these days, and there are so many great films out, and I, you know, saw the Oscars, and I was like, oh, my God, I've got to watch some of these movies. I did see
right.
Argo, though. I did see Argo, and I loved it, so I'm really glad
yeah.
it won the Oscar. But, yeah, I feel so behind on my films, so I've when I fly, and I'm in a plane a lot, that's when I catch up on my films.
Yeah,
great.
That's a good time to do it. I mean, because you're stuck. You have nowhere to go, so you might as well watch something, not too
exactly.
From a movie. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to join us out of your busy schedule.
My pleasure.
And, I really appreciate it. I like to start at the beginning. I mean, of course, not the day you were born, but how did you get started in music?
I've been singing probably since I was like 10 or 11. And by the time I was 15, I joined a rock band, and it was an original rock band. So I was a teenager writing songs in Canada. Then I moved to New York in my early 20s, and I joined a covers band, a Motown band, in fact.
Oh, good.
And I was always, I've always been singing. It's always something that I felt like I, you know, was able to do. I enjoyed doing. I love performing. I love writing. And, you know, it was great. And then, you know, I had like a day job. I worked in television while I was living in New York at the time. So I was literally, you know, getting up in the morning. I worked, in fact, at Lifetime Television. I worked at CBS News.
Uh-huh.
So I did, so I spent I paid my dues in my 20s working in the entertainment industry and then performing in gigs, you know, all across Manhattan, you know, in a Motown band. So when I moved to London, at that point I'd had two kids and, you can't not perform. Like if it's in your blood and it's in your soul, you know, you're not going to not do it anymore.
Right.
And so I joined a covers band and we performed in a few venues in London and I was ready to record an album. Like it was something like I felt like I'm in a new phase of my life now and I wanted to finally do that. And so I recorded an album of Motown covers, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then one song got remixed and the album was actually, I work with a charity called Music for Youth. And so the profits of the album actually went to the charity. And and of course, it was my first album, and I was an unknown artist at the time. And it was a great foray into not just you know, my first launch into, you know, actually recording an album, but also being philanthropic, it was like a really big deal to be able to do sort of both things.
Exactly.
And I guess because it got a lot of buzz, one of the tracks had gotten remixed by these DJs. And fast forward, and there's Stacey Jackson sitting between Lady Gaga and the Scissor Sisters.
Oh,
dog.
My gosh.
So that's the history of it. And so then I got calls from, you know, various producers saying, you know, your vocal suits this genre of music. Would you like to co-write an album with us of dance tracks? And like, okay.
Yeah.
And so that's how it all started. That was the history.
What a wonderful story. Oh. I love that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great.
I read on your Facebook page that you've had 6 top 10 UK club chart hits. That's huge.
And
congratulations.
My first American Billboard hit.
Yeah.
This week I found out I'm on the top 25 in Billboard Dance Club dance chart.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
congratulations.
Yeah, it's big. That's my thanks. It's my first, you know, dance music's interesting because it's always been huge in Europe. It's, you know, dance music has had a massive following in Europe, and obviously, America, I would never say that it's a new thing because it's not. Dance music's been around for ages. But I think it's a growing industry, and I think that in the last sort of 5 years' time, maybe even less, commercial pop has become more and more dance-oriented.
Right.
And DJs are now also very involved in productions of music. I mean, so you've got the famous, you know, Guetta, and you've got Avicii, and you've got, you know, Deadmau5 and Skrillex, and all these guys who were proper DJs remixing are now producing and making the track what we call in the industry fat, you know, because
uh-huh.
you can't turn the radio on without that oomph, 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 you know,
yeah.
you need that beat. And so I found myself in this industry, which is very interesting, and in the United States, where it's really becoming more and more accepted and more listened to and more palatable, or I think the American population is getting more and more used to it, in terms of where, you know, where it was how many years ago or decades ago,
right.
when dance music was totally Euro. So so here I am in the dance world and with a Billboard hit. So, I mean, so the whole thing is just completely, utterly surreal for me, and I'm really enjoying every second of it, and I'm having the best time.
That's wonderful. Your new album called Is This Love will be released in May, correct?
Well, the album's actually called Live It Up.
Live
This
It
Love
Up.
Was the,
Why did
yeah,
I have
Live It Up.
Wrong.
Yeah,
sorry.
Is This Love
it's
was was one of the singles, which of the entire album is my only cover on this album, and it's a cover of a Whitesnake track. So it brings
mm-hmm.
me back to my days of the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a dance track, and it did very well. It actually was playlisted on national radio for a long time last year, and that's featured on the album called Live It Up. And the same album will have the single Live It Up, which features a song I did with Snoop Dogg. So, and it's coming out May 13th-ish, May something.
I would love to listen to that album because I absolutely love Pointing Fingers, which you just released a video for that I watched.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, it was fun. Thanks. It was a very empowering track. I wrote it about a professional relationship I had, and it was basically like, you know, just don't tell me what to be doing anymore. I've got a head on my shoulders, you know, like,
right.
get out of my face. Let me go on and do what I know I need to be doing. And I actually wrote the song about, in fact, I felt so guilty about writing the song about him. I gave him 10% of the publishing.
Did you really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. It's guilt that I had because I just felt like, you know, how can I possibly be saying these lyrics about someone that, you know, I actually do value.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we just didn't see eye to eye when it came to, you know, what my career was going to be. and that was it. I decided, you know what? I've got to take the bull by the horns. This is my life, my career, my dream.
Right.
And you know what? This is what I've got to do. And so I actually wrote the song. And I, like I said, I felt so guilty about how kind of awful and ditching those lyrics sounds.
It was funny because David and I both watched the video and we thought, oh my gosh, she was mad at somebody.
Yeah.
Yep. And I said, there is a message here. There's a message here.
There is a message. It was cute. It was fun. I had a great time filming it. We worked with there's a big reality series here called Made in Chelsea. It's actually running in the U.S. now. I think it's in its first or second season in the U.S. And I had a really hot guy who played my boss guy on the video. And and it was fun to do. We actually filmed it in New York, funnily enough. So we filmed it in New York, and that was great. And it was a wonderfully empowering song to write, a great song to perform, and that just launched a couple, not even, just released a week or two ago, actually. So the fact that it's, like, debuting in Billboard's Top 25, I'm so beyond excited. It's great.
Yeah, so you should be very proud of yourself because it's a great song, and I'm sure the whole album is as well. And like I said, I can't wait till it comes out. Now, I've uploaded Pointing Fingers to my studio here. Would you mind if I played it for our listeners?
No, you have to.
Okay.
That is what radio is for, babe.
Okay, one moment. I'm going to go ahead and play that for them.
Sure.
Jackson, of course I have to dance in my chair because I can't stand up and do this. But I can definitely see that song in the clubs and everybody dancing to it.
Good.
I was wibbling in my chair.
Were you?
I loved it. I loved it. That's awesome song.
Oh, thank you.
Now, how do you decide which song after completing an album that you want to release as a single?
That is such a good question. You know, because you're so subjective, you know, when you write a track, it's like, oh, this is great. You know, I have four kids at home. I think they're very much, they're very helpful, actually, because they're so in tune in what's going on and what, you know, kids are listening to. And so I kind of narrow it down that way. If I know, you know, my 17-year-old will be saying to me, oh, my God, this is it, Mom. This is a hit. This is a hit. All my friends are dancing to this. You know, that's a testament right there.
Exactly.
So that helps. But obviously I have management and people who surround me that are sort of have like that sort of, you know, expertise in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll narrow it down. But it's hard, you know. Like I'm going to be now, you know, launching something in May and then something else in July, and then I think another track will come out by the end of the year. And, you know, it's hard to decide is the answer. It really is, because, like, every one of those songs I wrote, they're my babies, you know. It's like, how do you choose,
exactly.
You know?
Right.
That's why going to somebody that really, you know, that manages me and manages what, you know, has been in the industry for a long time, you know, I value their expertise.
Well, it's great that you have a support system like that, because sometimes you are on your own without anybody to help you choose what you want to do or what you want to put out there or just give their input of some kind. So it's great that you have all of those people.
You know, I'm fortunate. I've been able to pull on a lot of influences over my life, and I have kids, and I've had experiences. And I think, you know, I can make the decision wisely, I think, but, like, I also would never, ever not, you know, value the opinion of somebody who's actually been doing this a heck of a lot longer than me. And so I can make suggestions and say, you know, I think this is great, and why don't we release this? And he, you know, my manager or, you know, any of the other people involved in making these decisions would say, well, actually, the new sound is more like, the, you know, and so, you know, I have to understand that it's also a business, you know, like I love doing what I'm doing, but, you know, I've got to sell records, so I have to be giving what people want to dance to and what people want to play and what, you know, and what people want to download. So I have to be smart about it. So sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the ones that I think are the most close to my heart because it means the most to me might not necessarily work on the radio or in the dance floor. So I just got to let
open-minded.
Let it ride. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what emotions ran through you when you finally finished your album?
Oh, I've never finished an album. That's the thing. It's like any artist. It's like, you know, when you're looking at a painting, does anybody ever really finish it? Like, you know, do they ever really think it's done? I'm probably in the middle of writing another one, actually. I have, like, a catalog of songs. And it's really just what, you know, first, before you even choose what you're going to release, you have to choose which ones actually end up on the album.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot. And it's hard. It's really it's hard, because it's like for anybody who's an artist can tell you that, like, you know, what are you going to show? What are you going to showcase? What are you going to choose? What are you going to put out there? And everybody wants everything to be out there, but like I said before, you know it's got to be the right stuff, because in retrospect, you know not only are you putting out art or music, but you also want people to buy it, right? So you got to be careful.
Well, I noticed that all of the musicians, singers, songwriters that I've recently interviewed, they're all perfectionists, and the little tweaks that they think they need to make on the songs, we may not even notice the difference if you had put them side by side, but because we're, of course, not musically trained, we just love music. But you guys hear it, and that drives you up a wall when you feel it.
Trust me, we hear it. I give my producers agita all the time about these things. I'm like, no. This has to be harmony-tastic, and this has to be like this, and I've got it. It's very, you know, especially when you have a vision, you want it to sound the end product a certain way. So, you know, it's very difficult. And even if it's the smallest thing, even if it's one teeny-weeny little backup, you know, like a harmony or an ad lib somewhere in the, you know, because in your mind you know it belongs there, and if it's
right.
not there, everybody else for some reason in your head is not hearing it either. So, you know, but it's not true obviously because nobody knows that it's not supposed to be there. But as the artist, you know that that BV is not on the track.
Right.
So, you know, it's really hard. But sometimes you also just got to give up a little bit of the control. You got to understand, like I said, mm-hmm. there are people that surround you who have been doing this for a long time and are in the industry, and obviously you have to respect and value their decisions. So as difficult as it is as an artist, you have to have a head on your shoulders, and that's what I've been telling a lot of the young kids out there who are being who are new to the game, who are being developed at the moment. They have to remember that even though they are artists,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're working with a record label or they're working with, you know, producers, whatever, they need to have a head on their shoulders. I'm sorry. They
yes.
have to remember that it is their life, and they have to know what are the budgets, what's going on, how much is what's happening here, what's that, like, just to get a sense, you know, and not to relinquish too much of it, because they need to
yes.
know what's going on. Because it's very easy to be taken advantage of, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they just have to be very smart about it. And I've been working with a lot of young talent still here in the UK. Because I really, you know, it's great, but it's very easy for them to be like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you want.
Right,
but,
because they're just thrilled to death that somebody's paying attention to them and wants
correct.
To back them up, you know, whether
that's
it be
right.
a label or somebody, and
right.
they just lose their selves in that, and
mm-hmm.
that's not a good thing.
Exactly, and it can go bad the other way as well. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you're too much on the other side, where you're a little bit too much of a diva and you want a little bit too much of the control
right.
and you want too much, then they're going to go, well, you know what, forget it. It's not going to work,
yeah.
you know. I think the right thing is it's all about the teamwork in this business. You have to get the right people around you, and also you have to be able to ask the right questions and
right.
and be skeptical. But anyways, I'm enjoying every part of it. I really am. I'm having fun.
Well,
it's,
I can tell.
Yeah.
What instruments do you play, if any, and do you have a favorite?
I play the piano. I'm horrible at reading music. I play by ear, so I'll put the melody down on piano, or I'll hum something into my phone lately. Even that's what's happening lately. I'm like, you know, sometimes I actually write too much that I can't catch up with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll just hum something into my phone, and then I'll go and play it on the piano. So it doesn't necessarily come from the instrument at the moment. It could be just in my brain. Some, you know, it's funny.
Well, thankfully, we have phones that you can do that with now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I probably would have had a tape recorder or something back in the day.
Right.
But now it's like I'll hum something into my phone, which, you know, and then I'll meet with, like, my writing partners or my producer and be like, okay, this is what I hummed on the beach while I was on holiday, you know?
Right.
And here's my phone, and listen to this. And then all of a sudden they'll become pointing fingers, you know? So it starts from something very, you know, simple like that, and then it ends up what it is, which is great.
Where's the weirdest place that you probably have come up with a song in your head and needed to, you know, put it in your phone right away?
On an airplane, I guess.
On an airplane.
Yeah, on an airplane. Or on a beach. It's happened to me both places. What else? Oh, well, I was getting a massage, and that was very frustrating.
Oh, now that one's
different. Because I had this tune in my head to... He was doing this, like, thumpy thing on my back, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I actually, from the thumping beat, I actually got something in my head going, oh, I think I felt the rhythm. It was just such an odd thing. But, of course, I didn't have my phone with me because I'm, like, on a massage table.
Right.
So, but I ended up remembering it. So, luckily, I sang that into my phone. But, yeah, sometimes, like, I can just hear beats and I'll just write it in my brain.
Well,
weird.
I would say that's
weird.
The first I ever heard of somebody getting a beat from a massage. So
yeah, it's exactly right. But you asked me what was the weirdest, and
right.
I guess that would be. But it comes to me whenever, and sometimes it could be like weeks or months where like nothing comes
mm-hmm.
to me, and like I'll be like focused on so many other things in my life that I'm just completely distracted, and so like I just can't zone in. But then when I'm relaxed, lands massage or on a beach somewhere, is when I feel the most free, and that's when I start feeling, you know, feeling it, and that's when I start writing the most stuff, like the best.
Yeah, it clears your mind probably, you know, because we're normally thinking about 600 things a day, you know, in our minds, and when you can relax like that, then it has more open space to bring something else in.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, later this year, you'll be heading up a campaign for Breast Cancer Charities of America called Don't Give It Up, Live It Up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that charity event. It's something that's very close to my heart because, unfortunately, my mom died of breast cancer.
Oh, don't freak me out. My mother's going through her chemo at the moment, like literally.
My grandmother.
Sorry to hear about your mom. That's awful.
They've come a long way since she passed. It's been almost 22 years now. So
okay. No,
I
know that. Okay.
Now.
All right. Fine. Yes, that's absolutely correct. They have come a long way. I think she was in an early stage because of early detection, which is great. But she is going through chemo. Her numbers were quite high, and so she had to go through the whole process. And then she'll do the radiation, everything. And it's become so real to me because I realized how much I not just depend on my mother, but, like, I mean, she's like one of my best friends. You know, I speak
right.
150 million times a day. And then, of course, when I'm on tour and, you know, she comes to London and she fills that sort of emotional gap with my kids. She's here with my family, and she's mm-hmm. there. And I know that there's somebody here that, like, is in charge, you know.
Right.
And my husband's around also, but, like, I mean, he goes to work. But, like, my mom's around, like, during the day. And now that she's not, it's been very hard. And the support of family is just so, so critical. I think family is so, so important, you know, in anything that anybody chooses to do.
Exactly.
So anyways, yeah, this is a big event. The launch of my album is in May, and then we're doing a massive big red carpet celebrity event for Brit Week, in fact, in
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, and it's going to be for breast cancer charities. So it's going to be a great event in Los Angeles, so I hope people can come out for that. It's going to be like May 1st or 2nd in L.A. in West Hollywood. And then I'm doing another one in London, and I'll be performing as well in Chicago, Las Vegas, and New York. So
you're
all my
coming
dates
to
will
Chicago?
Be up on my...
I'm in Chicago.
You're
Yes.
I think I'm going to be performing in Chicago, but I'll let you know.
I hope so.
I'm doing – what am I doing? I'm doing – you know what, all of my dates will be up on my website, StacyJackson.com, and on my Facebook and stuff, because I don't want to tell you what I'm doing and it changes, because it's ahead right now.
Right.
It's sometime in May. But, yes, I will be in Chicago, Vegas, L.A., New York, lots of places.
Good.
Really looking forward to it, yeah. So definitely you have to come out and see.
Oh, I will. I definitely will. And David's in New York, and maybe he can – get out to see you when you're out there, too.
That would be great. Yeah. I think I'm in New York, I want to say around the 16th of May. I don't know. I honestly, these dates are all just coming in now. I'm doing a bunch of stuff in England. I'm doing Formula One. I'm doing a big show for the Formula One, like the race car thing. I'm doing boxing matches, rugby matches.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Lots of festivals. I'm doing Gay Pride. In the UK, so a bunch of events over here. Yeah, it's nonstop.
You're sure going to be busy, yes.
Yeah.
I am, but I love it. And then, you know, then I juggle the kids, and it's all crazy, but it's all good.
Right. Now, if there's any way for us to help out, like donating for the breast cancer event, how can
we
do
that? Will be up on my website. All the information will be put up on StacyJackson.com. We're going to start with a big public service announcement that's just been lovely edited and is going to start going out in the next week or so. My video is going to be released also in the U.S., so you'll start seeing that on TV and everything, which is great. And, yeah, so there'll be more of me, I guess, in the U.S.
Spread all out, all over the place.
Yeah. All over the place.
That's a good thing, though. I'm happy for you. That's what you work for, you know, when you start doing this. This is your dream, and your dream is coming true. And not a lot of people can say that, so that's great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was so lovely speaking to you guys. Really, really lovely. And I hope I get to see you when I'm in Chicago and New York. That'd be great. I'll be posting everything up on my website, just all the information about the BCCA and the event in Los Angeles and all the other stuff. We're going to start plugging that. Actually, we're my first interview about the BCCA, so we're going to start a whole big plug for it in the next few weeks.
Well, I put your video pointing fingers on my website, take2radiomusic.com, so that way more
Great.
People get to see it and they can
awesome.
Listen to it and watch it on your website, I'm sure, as well as YouTube.
Awesome.
And your Facebook is facebook.com and then STAEROX, correct?
Stay Rocks.
Okay.
That's me, STAEROX.
And that's
yeah.
your Twitter name as well.
Exactly. Exactly. So we've been tweeting. We've been tweeting,
yes.
Pam. You and I are tweet buddies now.
That's
so
right.
So that's good.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
so anyways, great to be here.
Go ahead.
I was just about to say it was great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. We really
thank
appreciate
you.
It. And we look forward to seeing more from you and hearing more from you. And we'll keep updated by going to your website.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you have a good night, and God bless you.
Thank
and
you.
And prayers are with your mom as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you very
bye.
Much for that.
You're welcome.
Take care, David. Take care.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, if any of you missed it, it's StacyJackson.com, where you can check out her music, her upcoming tours. There's a gallery on there. There's press information. There's a store, different ways to connect with her on Facebook. Like I said, Facebook.com, STAEROX, on Twitter at STAEROX. Stace Rocks. That makes sense, right?
That makes sense.
Well, I know that she's going to love every single minute of her touring, and as well as she should, because she's worked hard to get to where she is today.
Very busy lady, and she came from a lot to get to where she is.
Exactly, exactly. And I wish her only the best. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. Join us again on Tuesday, April 9th, for our Days of Our Lives actor, and that's Eric Martzoff. And that will be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, so I hope you will join us then. And you can follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. And David, you can follow him at Take Two Radio Crew, and that's the number two as always. And then you can check out our website for our upcoming guests, our past guests. There's podcasts on there. There's videos and such. And that would be at take2radio.com. You can listen to the previous podcast on iTunes, as well as follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and they'll send you an email every time we schedule a guest, and that way you won't miss any of the ones that you'd like to listen to. And as always, you can call in to speak with our guests. We do take phone calls. I know a lot of people are shy about that, but they don't bite, as you can tell.
Nope, they don't bite.
No. And the phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and you press the number 1, so that way we know we want to pick up your phone call. And thanks, David, for joining me today, and I wish you a wonderful weekend, and we will touch base again soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Pam, for having me this afternoon.
You're very welcome. And good night, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you again on Tuesday.
Good night, all.